You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today. And good morning, Wednesday Live, on this very beautiful 5th of November of the year 2025. And a little cooler weather, thank God. Here in the studio, first I have to introduce my co-host for today and my cohort in crime, or whatever, you know, it's not really criminal, to be a producer here at WCNO, Karen Hubbard.
Good morning.
Oh, morning.
Good to be here.
It's always good to have you here, and all the ministry that you have here is really God-led, things that you do. Which I don't even understand a lot of what you do. I'm sorry, can't help that. But we're glad you're here. To this morning, we have a packed hour, really. And so, our first guest of the day, Robin Campbell. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
And introduce your lovely husband.
My name's Don.
Don. Yeah. Glad to have you here. You're a great team. And what a great help meet. You both lift each other up and support each other. And every time you come, I just see that wonderful grace of God in the midst of your marriage. And I mention that because this topic for today is sexual abuse in the families. And this is an educational station, and people need to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of you listening, maybe you flinched when I said that. Well, don't tune us out. Listen, because Robin, who came out of that experience in her own life, and how God turned that around so she can be someone that can educate and minister and pastor people going through that. So without any further ado, Robin, tell us your story. Tell us what you want us to hear today.
Well, my dad was a pastor, and he accepted a church down in Miami. And there was a certain church member who befriended us, and back in those days, they always warned pastors, don't get too friendly with people in your congregation, mm-hmm. you know. And there was reasons for it, you know, and stuff like that. But this particular person was very prominent in the church, was a good tither, you know, had a great testimony. I'm so glad Jesus saved me. And the favorite song was Victory in Jesus, you know. But underneath all of that was a monster that we didn't even realize. And he began to molest my siblings and me in an attempt to. And not so much my brother, but he did try. And by the time it all came out and was said and done, it went on for about a couple years. Now, my parents did receive a letter in the mail saying, this person is bad, blah, blah, blah. And of course, when my parents confronted him, he was the boo-hoo-hoo, oh, if you don't trust me, I'll go to another church and stuff like that. And when it came out, it was devastating for my family. You know, my mom went into a deep depression. Our family became dysfunctional in a way. And I'm not even sure we ever got over it. We learned to deal with it, but we didn't get over it. We got through it as best as we could. And, you know, even though it predominantly happened to two of us, it still devastated our lives in different ways. And, you know, sometimes parents don't realize that if someone molests even just a child in the family, basically that person has done it to the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, a family goes through that and they think we've been ruined. I'm here to tell you that your life hasn't been ruined to the point that God can't use it.
Amen.
And it took me several years to be able to say, I can forgive this person. And I could look at him today and say, I forgive you, and walk away. And it's only been in recent years I've realized he's not the monster in my life that he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can look good and I can feel good about myself without fearing that someone's not going to love me. Someone's mm-hmm. going to find me attractive and they're going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being married with Don all these years, he's the one who has supported me and helped me in knowing that it's okay to be attractive. It's okay to be that way. You know, you've just got to learn to deal with it. And I've had friends and family who's come along beside of us and who have supported us and helped us through the years. And then, you know, what happens a lot of times in families is it happens again
mm-hmm.
to the next generation. And that's what happened in our family. A trusted family friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
molested our daughter. And we went through the whole criminal process of pressing charges and all that kind of stuff. And we went to counseling as a family, you know, and stuff like that. Does it still affect our children today? Yeah, they're grown.
Mm-hmm.
It still affects them.
Sure.
But, you know, they've also learned to give it to the Lord and to overcome and to forgive. And so a lot of times families are sitting there, parents, you know, if it happens in the home and it's being done by a parent, you know, and everyone's shocked, don't be. Because preferential offenders, those who prefer children, have a gender and a type that they are looking for and mm-hmm. an age they're looking for and a look they're looking for, which is... I can't even find the term for it.
Mm.
It's messed up. It's sick.
Yes.
But that's the way they think. And they can be involved in an adult relationship, you know, mm-hmm. a sexual relationship, and yet prefer children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get so skittish about talking about sex
mm-hmm.
and the perversions that happen, you know. And it's not just males, it's females, you know, it's children doing it to children, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Peer-on-peer abuse is usually one out of every three cases of sexual abuse that is reported. That means you have a teenager doing it to a younger child, or a older child doing it to a younger child, or a younger child doing it to a younger child.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. But, you know... when we began to notice it with our daughter, we began to see within all three of our children this change in attitude. Mm-hmm. She became very angry and very nervous and very frustrated. And, you know, we also began to notice other things like rashes in the private areas and stuff like that. And we would ask her straight out, straight out, is someone messing with you? And she'd be crying and saying, no, Mama, no, Mama. And the boys would be like, no, nothing's, we're all good, you know. But offenders do this. If you tell, they won't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you tell, I'll hurt them or I'll hurt you or something like that. Or let me buy you a gift. You want that candy bar? I'll go get it for you. You want that puppy? Let me get you a puppy, you know. And so it becomes a secret, and secrecy is what they work under. But the thing is, they not only groom the victims, they groom the adults too.
Hmm.
Go back to my own case. This man, how did he get into the family?
Mm-hmm.
He became a friend with my parents. He began to show himself trustworthy and helpful. And I, hey, you've got a financial need, let me help meet it. You know, I'm well-to-do, I can do this. And that's how that becomes. And so this is not to say if you're out there and this has happened to your family that you are to blame. We're not saying that at all. But we are saying that we've allowed them in our child's life.
And it seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of, I hate to use the word ignorance, but ignorance is simply the lack of knowledge. It's not, mm-hmm. you're not stupid.
Right.
If you're
right.
ignorant, you just right. need to know something. And there's a lot of ignorance about sexual abuse, especially in families. And let's just take America, if you have any stats for how prevalent is this type of sexual abuse going on in families today?
98% of the time, a child is sexually abused by someone they know, mm-hmm. someone that's familiar to them, 98% of the time. Okay. And then the rest of these adults, when you look at it, 2/3 of sexual abuse survivors don't say anything until they become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're looking at about 60% of the adults going around saying, it took me a long time. And the rest of that 40% will never tell. But the thing is, what happens usually is it's a generational thing, because if it happens within a family, that means someone has done it to the abuser.
Yes, it right. is generational.
Right.
So if you have, and I say people, some people are listening and they're saying, well, I'm not aware of anything going on, but what are the signs I need to look for in my children, let's say? You mentioned some things earlier about yourself and then your daughter, but what are some of the major signs that show up in children as when the abuse has begun, but nobody is saying anything?
Well, like I said, first thing that I mentioned was, you know, rashes and things in the private areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing is like bedwetting for children, you know, nervousness. For older children, it may be self-mutilation.
Mm.
And we think they're cutting mm-hmm. because, you know, they're just looking for attention. And they do it usually on places they can hide, but now it's become places they don't hide anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a way of saying, can I still feel?
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychotic thing of I'm numb to the world, and if I want to make sure that I'm not numb to pain.
Mm, okay.
And it's a mixed up, horrible way to deal with it, but that's how they're dealing with it, you know. And a lot of times that these people, these predators, look for children on the outside, children on the fringe. They become into families who are single parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, or from a broken home. And so, you know, there's other symptoms, but a lot of times these symptoms can mask other abuses. So you want to be really careful. But if a child is suddenly beginning to layer up on clothing, okay, mm-hmm. excessive modesty, you know, all of a sudden it's a horrible thing, you know, or if you touch them in a certain, you know, to hug them or something, mm-hmm. they're backing off and they're avoiding a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it's something to make you raise your eyebrow out, but of course, you can't ask leading questions. And the other biggest thing is sometimes older kids and teenagers will come to you and say, if I tell you a secret, can you keep a secret?
Mm.
And our response is, there are some secrets, yes, I can keep. But there are some secrets, if it means you're getting hurt, or you know of a friend who's getting hurt, then I'm not going to be able to keep that secret. But I want you to trust me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm not just going to go out and tell everyone just because you told me. I'm going to try to make sure that you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone will say, well, this will ruin the family. I hate to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
The family's already been ruined.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But the beginnings of dealing with this, one of the things that I think it means is that healing can begin for the whole family once you begin to identify the abuse, who is being abused, and hopefully the perpetrator. And then at that point, healing can begin. We have 10 minutes more left in this segment, and I First of all, I want to say to our listeners, this is critical. I hope you feel the same way we do, that this, even if you don't have it happening in your family and your life, it's happening in other people's lives. And you know, when Cain asked God if he was his brother's keeper, the answer is yes. We have a responsibility,
right,
to our brothers and sisters, our people, in the human community, when we notice something's wrong, and especially if we know what that wrong is,
right.
We are responsible to do something to bring it to a close, whatever that may be. And frankly, as a Christian person, I would ask God what to do. I mean, God's my source of wisdom, although if it's very blatant and obvious, there are certain things that people must do who are observing. And this is a point I was going to ask you to deal with, is what, when people see these things, either in the family, it's their own children, right, or maybe it's not their children, but it's in the extended family, they see these things happening. Or it may be a teacher seeing things happening in a school to a child, total change in their behavior, mm-hmm, their attitudes.
Right.
What is the next step that they need to take?
The next step is to report it.
Okay, and how would they do that?
1-800-96-ABUSE.
1-800-96-ABUSE. Now
that's a toll-free number into the state of Florida, Department of Children and Families. And what they do is they take the report and then they send it on to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Can you report anonymously? Yes, you can, but it's better that you don't, because that way they can contact you to make sure what you've seen, what you know, what you've heard, and be able to process from there. The biggest thing is that if you think, I can wait, you really can't. Florida has a list of mandated reporters. They have to report within 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone over the age of 18 in Florida is a mandatory reporter, which means if you're 18 and you see something happening or you know of something that's happening, you should report it. And you're thinking, mm-hmm, I'm going to ruin this adult's life. What if the child is lying? 98% of the time, a child is not making this up. They're not out for vengeance, especially,
right,
and please understand, young children, they may only give a vague description or a partial description, and they may not be able to put words to it until they get older, but you'll notice them playing with toys and doing things that only adults should know about,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Right.
And I don't want to get graphic, but, put two and two together,
mm-hmm,
and if they're doing it to a toy or they're doing it to another child, then you know.
Yeah. Yeah, these
right.
are, and just to say, to reiterate that reporting is important, and the authorities that receive the reports are going to use their expertise to investigate, mm-hmm, which is nice, why they can have a number to know you and not just to anonymous.
Right.
And they're going to evaluate the quality of your report,
mm-hmm,
because they're not going to move on something that they're unsure of. In other words, if there's no, they want to get evidence that this is happening.
That's right.
So if you're worried about the police, the local authorities crashing into someone's house, and dragging them out and throwing, that doesn't happen. Well, it shouldn't happen. And mostly it doesn't happen. But they need to get involved so that they can investigate.
Right.
Right.
And it's not up to us to investigate. It's up to them.
And that was the point I was going to make, is if someone is observing, then I know some people would say, well, I'm going to go talk to that person.
Mm-mm.
No, don't do that.
No,
don't do that.
Because you could put that child's life in danger. Because we never know what's going to put someone over the edge.
Yes.
So we need to protect the child at all costs. At this point, it's no longer about the adults. It's about the child.
Yeah.
And my word of advice to this is this. Don't let the sun set on making that report.
Amen. Right. Be quick.
That's right.
As quick as you can.
And let the law enforcement do what the law enforcement is supposed to do. They have services and they know of places to get family counseling here on the Treasure Coast. New Horizons has a plethora of family counselors who can help,
mm-hmm,
the family to get through it. And, sometimes even the friends or the person reporting, they may need a little bit of counseling, someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And, just be aware that there is pastor privilege. So if you talk to your pastor, a priest, or your rabbi, they mm-hmm. may not be able to report it unless the person themselves has said something about it and they know someone's in danger. But, you know, it's still that confidentiality. But if even if you're a pastor and you know what's happening, mm-hmm. you need to report. You know, call the 800 number. You know, call your local law enforcement. You know, and our church has connections in with both the sheriff's office and the police department, you know we can call. We mm-hmm. also have connections into New Horizons of the Treasure Coast that we can call and we can say, hey, can you help us, you know, whatever else it is. And, you know, right. so churches and pastors need that. Schools need that, especially mm-hmm. private Christian schools, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. And, you know, just make the report. And just remember, you're helping this child.
Yes.
And the sooner right. we can help this child heal themselves, not mm-hmm. taking 50, 60 years like it took me,
mm-hmm.
or my siblings, or my daughter, because we got it right away,
yeah.
and continued to get it, and so she can help deal with it. That way, we're protecting our future.
Amen.
Right. And we're helping future leaders who've gone through this to come up and say, I'm a survivor, but God brought me through it.
Amen.
And they can minister, because as time gets worse, it's just going to be worse.
I'm looking at the clock, and you know, time flies. Yeah. We know that. But I do want to tell our listeners, and there's so much more that Robin can and will share with us at another time. We have a Monday program called The Front Line, and I've already scheduled Robin to come in on Monday the 19th of January of this coming year, and we're going to have an hour to really go a little into some depth on these issues. Before we do say goodbye, or not a goodbye, auf Wiedersehen, adieu, you know, yeah. we'll see you again. This is really a ministry area for you,
mm-hmm.
and that you have some practical programs that you offer to those who are interested in knowing more and knowing how to act and react,
mm-hmm.
And some teaching and training. Very quickly, how can people, and maybe someone right now listening, oh, my church needs this, or maybe they're a pastor listening, and my church needs this, how can they get a hold of you to talk to you about the programs you offer?
Well, I'm not an author, but I can tell you they can go to Ministry Safe. They have a website.
Okay.
And churches can actually purchase the thing. And it's my suggestion is that leadership within churches go through that training. Also, Protect My Ministry has the same thing. Mm-hmm. Please realize it's not just for churches. It's for schools, for daycares.
Yes.
Individuals That's right. can go to these websites and take individual courses that will train them and help them in the same way. The course that I took is a seminary level course, so mm-hmm. I am a certified trainer in this.
Mm-hmm.
I can train, but the church or whoever I'm training has to purchase the thing
right.
for the background checks and all that they do. So that's my suggestion. You know, if they want to talk, they have questions, they can contact the station, and someone here will contact me, and I will be happy to call them and talk with them personally.
And that's what I was going to recommend, too. You have our number, 772-221-1100. And if you want to get more information and guidance from Robin, we can give you her number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm so grateful that the Lord has worked so profoundly in your life that you're willing to be a witness. You're willing to be a teacher. You're willing to share your experience so others can avoid what you went through. And my prayer is that our listeners will take this to heart, put it in your prayer life, because we all know somebody, whether we know it or not, who is either has been abused or is now being abused. And if the more we work together, the more we pray, the more we are aware of the signs, the more we can help our brothers and sisters who are right. under the thumb
right.
of the oppressor.
That's right.
God bless you.
Thank
Robin
you
and Don, thanks for coming. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Little music.
best advice. I live free, a walk in victory, and repeat after me. I'm a bird ball battle-fought on my shame. I'm gone, made new child of the king. I'm an amen, testify, holy water baptized, wins out and came up clean. I'm a soul been saved by that amazing grace, and now there ain't no way, girl, can't take that away, girl. Don't forget you're free, it's who you're made to be.
And we welcome back to the second half of Wednesday Live today. And at this segment, we have a friend. You recognize his voice.
He's that
and
guy
he's got
energy.
A guest with him. And John Nelson with Families Recover.
Yes,
John,
sir.
Good to see you, bro.
You know, I get close to the radio station, and I always get this surge of energy.
Yeah.
Because I get to be here with you guys.
Well, praise
the
Lord.
We get to talk to your wonderful audience.
I thought the surge was because you were here, John, and
well,
God moving
I appreciate
through your
that.
Life. So we want to make sure that you get everything in you need in the time we have.
I got you.
So I know you got some things cooking. You brought a guest with you.
Yeah, we brought Megan.
Megan,
hi.
Tell
hi.
Us about Megan. Hey, Megan.
Let's give us a background of Megan.
Born and raised here in Palm City. Just
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, that was me.
Don't be shy.
Go ahead.
Just born and raised here in recovery. Definitely want to spread the message that there is hope out there and that you do have a chance.
Right.
And it's never the end. You can always fight for yourself.
That's what it's all about, hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
You know, Kelly, we got a few other women, and you know that since Jenny's death 7 years ago, we really focus on getting the women out of the sex trades or whatever they're going through. Some of them are caught in very domestic situations. I had a young lady call from our ad on your radio station last week, and we had to get her into a safe place. So, you know, it's just spreading the word of hope. And, you know, Families Recover started 13 years ago.
Yeah.
It's Families Against Drunk Driving because of some family stuff. And we started that, I did, with the prodding of some people just because of what was going on in my personal life. Couldn't get the help. You know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving is a great entity. They've changed legislation throughout the world when it comes to drunk driving, not just here, around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not street level.
Yeah.
So, you know, then when the opiate and heroin came out, we jumped into familiesrecover.org, which is involved with the same 501c3, which is more fitting for who does it affect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our diseases affect the family more than anybody. So we're going to recruit Megan. We've got a couple other people. And, you know, Kelly's busy. But Kelly, you guys know Kelly. She she's out there preaching.
That's and she's a powerful witness for Christ and in terms of recovery.
Absolutely.
You know, the delivery is the better
word. You know,
we
try to involve people that have gone through the process of getting their feet back under them, been where we've been.
Yeah.
Most people don't have to go where I've been. We know my story. And just get them back on their feet.
And let me just point out, some listeners don't really, you say Families Recovery, gave a little bit, but they don't know, John. I'm not going to tell your story, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to synthesize.
Synopsis.
John is boots on the ground, former druggie, how many years, decades, whatever
decades.
That you were?
38 arrests.
38
prison,
arrests. Spent some time
homeless,
in jail and prison.
Broke hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just our mission is we want to get people off the streets. You know, we want to get them the help they need. We try to push them back into thinking that they can be a part of that productive life through healing. You know, if we all need healing. There's nobody on this radio listening right now that hasn't had some sort of trauma. This isn't drug and alcohol. Mental health.
Right.
I mean, drug abuse. They all are kind of combined. And, you know, the trauma therapy is going to be the latest thing that you guys hear in the next couple of years, especially because if you don't get to the bottom of the trauma, you may never make it back to the whole person that God wants you to be, right?
Amen. Yes.
And that's not something with a snap of a finger. You can go to an AA meeting, you can go to Celebrate Recovery, you can go find Buddha. I mean, I don't know what you're going to find, but until you've really cleansed your soul of those things that either you've been put through or you put others through, and the forgiveness comes in, we want whole people back.
And isn't that, that's the work of the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
And it's only in Christ that we get that power from Him, not from us, in order to, because we have to, you're right, we have to be, it's deliverance, it's not just, I mean, it's healing.
You know, Keith Masters is a good friend. I love his story. I was driving up from New York. He was a thug. And all of a sudden, he asked God to drop the chains. And he was delivered from all of it in a truck cab.
Yes.
Does that happen for everybody? Not usually.
Well, everybody's story is different, but it's their story.
You know, and as long as you're putting one foot in front of the other and you're trying to make a better life for yourself and you get around the people that are been through it and making better lives for themselves, you can get the structure. I mean, right now we're going through a crisis with affordable housing. We get women and men, their kids, ready to get back out of foster care, and we don't have nowhere to put them because there's no cheap housing. There is no cheap housing in Florida.
None. You're right.
So how do they get their kids out of the system?
Dan.
You're stuck.
That's, I want to, before we, in the time frame we have, one thing I must do, John, is talk about Miami Heat.
Yes.
And what you do for the kids, what you're trying to raise money for. I think it's really powerful.
You know, it's sober adults, and we work with a couple other people, Police Athletic League down in Broward County. We've been doing that for 10 years. It's about 175 kids we're up to now. Mm. Not just kids, sober families. If there's someone listening right now, please call and get my phone number. If you want to take your kid to a bus trip down to the Miami Heat and you're struggling, let me spoil your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and our big thing is I come in here and I try to raise money for you guys. I try to raise money for everybody that's looking for money. And I was thinking about this morning when God was talking to my heart. I don't come in here and try to raise money for familiesrecover.org. We need money.
Yeah, you do.
We gave away five cars last year.
Wow.
One through your, this type of a radio call.
Yeah.
We're talking on the radio 2 days later. Jonathan calls, and this wonderful lady donated a beautiful car. And Emma, who you've been
amazing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, John, where do these kids come from? What is their background? And why do they need to be blessed in the way you're
going to
bless them?
You know, a lot of them, even if it's not been an addiction situation, we try to get kids that have just never would have the ability to do a stadium event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, face it, you're $100 a ticket. You got to go to Miami. It's $50 to park. You're going to spend $100 at the concession stand, and if you buy them a T-shirt, at $400.
Hmm.
Not a lot of people have the ability
to do that
at Christmas, even to come off $400, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, we open up the doors to just about anybody that's in a situation because we want these kids to know that no matter if you can afford it or not, even people that are coming in sober homes or out of treatment centers or out of even prison, because we deal with Dunklin a lot, they need to be shown that you can be a part of this.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be a part of. God doesn't want division, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's been the real thing for the last, since Jenny died especially, the last 7 years has been, who do we really need to focus on? We don't close doors on anybody. If I had a single mom call me today looking for a car, I'm going to find a way to find a car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what God wants us to do.
Yeah, and but you're the ministry that you have, so many lives have come. God has sent people to you. They had known at the time that God was sending them.
Thousands.
Thousands of people. And you have, God has used you and those you work with to get people off the street, get them clean, get them into a Christian environment,
exactly.
Meet Jesus. You know, it's not a forced thing.
And
but,
that's a hard thing. And we talked about that during the fundraiser.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot go on the streets because I'm a street level guy. I'm a kid from Detroit. I can go places that law enforcement can't.
Right.
They want the women out. They want the men out.
Yeah.
Well, you can't go Bible beat them. Mm-mm. They've been traumatized. Mm-mm. Most of them have come out of houses or situations where the Christian or the Catholic Church, they've been beat with it. You're going to do this or else. Well, you know, our God don't work that way.
No.
But what's magical, I'm working with a couple people right now, and they're sober coming up on, it'll be 6 months. And she didn't believe in God.
Mm.
And she's been doing stuff with other women. And a little by slowly, she's curious about it, right? It's like anything else. When I got sober, if you would have beat me in the face with a big book, and I already knew the Bible, I knew Jesus long before AA, it's taken me a long time to learn tact. Mm-hmm. Is everyone making it? No. But you concentrate on the ones that are going to make it.
it's the way it always is. You know, not everyone's going to cross the finish line, but you want them all.
You know, we try hard to raise about 30 for this event because we try to give all the kids and even the sober people coming in a couple dollars in the stadium. One of our other sponsors that used to sponsor us, they sold the bank, so they got taken out of that situation. Mm. We need to give these kids $25 each because if you look around the stadium, we were bringing all these kids on the bus catered, all dressed up, mm-hmm. and they get in the stadium and couldn't buy a t-shirt. Well, all of a sudden, these kids that came from nothing feel like nothing because they're watching the other kids mm-hmm. walk up with big things of popcorn and soda and t-shirts. Yeah. So that's another thing that we've really instituted. We want everyone to feel the best.
So what's the date of this current Miami Heat game?
Yeah, December 29th. It's December a Tuesday 29th. Night. We got a charter bus, Coastal Bus, who I want to bring in their Christian couple. They were big with Academy Bus Lines. They're not charging us full price. They've given us a brand new, beautiful bus. Hmm. And that's going to be December 29th. We'll be leaving at 3 o'clock.
So many kids are you trying to get down there, John?
We'll have 55 plus chaperones on this bus. But okay. If they have transportation, like Project Lift gets tickets, they'll bus down or they'll take the new Brightline down to the stadium. Because Brightline gets off 2 blocks away.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
so,
cool.
So, you know, it's just an exciting event. We need money. 772-285-5828. We are we'll be 14 years old, 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
It's tax deductible.
So what, just let me, people want to know, well, how much... What's the top? What is the nut you're going to have to crack to pay for all of this?
We're coming at about 20, but then we try to raise a couple 10 to maybe be able to put it in the kitty. The radio station costs us money every month, right? Your ministry partner costs us every month.
Yeah, your ministry
partner.
You
know, we got fuel.
Yeah.
You know, you have expenses.
For sure. But if someone said, "Well, how much money do you need?" And
if someone would come up with like 30. I mean, a third of the way there now. I started paying off bills yesterday for this trip.
Okay.
But you know what? You know what's cool? God has never left us with a deficit.
Amen. God never does.
Never.
Because you're doing his will.
See,
man.
But it's tough because I wake up in the morning, heart transplant guy. I got my own stuff going on, blah, 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 blah. And the mind starts spinning.
Right.
Your new program. How are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I going to leave it on the credit card?
Right, yeah.
God don't work that way.
No, God's already got it figured out. He's figured out the end from the beginning.
And I got a very shy co-host over here.
Yeah.
But Kelly never had that problem.
No, Kelly is not
shy. Kelly hands right out there, isn't she?
Well, Megan, let me just ask, he's pointing to you, so what do you have to say about all that?
Well, I do have to say that if it wasn't for John and what he does, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm. And I'm so blessed to have him in this organization. And you never know when that chance is going to come for you. You know,
true.
Just always keep open to God and always open to what the message is and what he's trying to tell you. Because, man, there's so many times where I heard him, but, ignore him. And mm-hmm. once you finally open yourself and allow him to come in, then you can start recovering and start being the person that you're supposed to be.
You know, and making that decision that's not – there's people in here that know what I'm talking about when it comes to recovery. Unless you make that choice, today's it.
Yeah.
And you walk through, and that's like Kelly and myself mm-hmm. and Keith and Jimmy the bank robber.
Yeah.
And so many other people listening. I'm very outgoing when it comes to talking about recovery, and she will be too once she's prepped in. I mean, this is new for everybody, for her. I mean, for me, I could talk for 2 days.
And I think you have. No. But it's always great to have you here, John. Because what you're doing is it needs to be in front of the people.
Exactly.
Always, because it's such an issue in our culture. It has ever been an issue
since the caveman.
Addictions, started with humanity.
Sure.
And
everybody's addicted to something. I mean, a stronghold. And I don't think I've ever talked to this. I know we're crushed for time.
Got a couple of
minutes. In the Bible, it talks about a soul tie. Mm-hmm. It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be your phone.
Yeah.
It could be chocolate.
Okay, we're not going to talk about dark chocolate now. Listen,
I don't want you going out there and getting that last donut.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? It's trying to get people back on board with the fact that first, I can heal. Secondly, I can forgive, because mm-hmm. that's huge. If you can't forgive, you can't have peace.
Yeah.
And then I can have a productive life. Does it happen overnight? No. I got out of jail 16 years ago. I got out of Martin County, Dunkland Dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Great friends with them. I go in there all the time. I had a 4:10 credit score. Mm. I couldn't go home. My career was over. We were in a huge housing collapse. I was living in a halfway house, couldn't see my own kids.
Yeah.
Now let's fast forward. And this is where I try to tell people. This isn't overnight. Fast forward, I'm an 827 score. I have a home.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends. We're able to help people.
Yeah.
It's not overnight sometimes, right?
But whatever, it has to begin somewhere.
You got to make the decision. Amen. If there's people out there listening right now, I guarantee they've been drinking since the morning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I like the drugs.
Yeah.
There's hope.
There is hope.
But you got to make that call and you got to make that decision. And then you got to walk through it.
Yeah.
No That's matter right. what you're facing. I came out of jail facing a $65,000 bond felony that I didn't even do. I was innocent, believe it or not. Are you listening, Judge? I was innocent, but I had to go prove my innocence after I bonded out of jail and the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the way, you know, there's people listening. I can't turn myself in. I got these things to do. I got a kid right now. He's got wants in Virginia, and they're saying as long as you're staying sober in a sober facility, we won't come get you, and let's just try to work this out through the mail. That's a miracle. That's three felonies.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, yeah.
See, because God makes way. Listen, I'm just a catalyst. I'm telling and trying to teach the things that I've been taught.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing on my own, first off. I'm a little man.
Yeah.
But as a whole, like what you guys do and what Karen does and what Seamus does and what she's doing, as a whole, we can do this thing.
Amen. Because God empowers his people to do
this.
It.
I can't do this alone.
Oh, and we shouldn't have to.
No.
Listen, our time's almost up for you, but you're not going to leave because we don't want you to leave.
I love this guy's new program.
So I know you want to stay and hear what Seamus has to say. We're going to switch to him in just a minute. But before we do...
You want me to pitch it again?
Are you what?
www.familiesrecovered.org, 772-285-5828. John Nelson. I'm advertising on this station for 5 years now. If you need my phone number, you can call the radio station.
We do
have a donate button on our website. It is secured through PayPal.
Yeah.
Everything is tax deductible. I don't care if it's a dollar, a penny, or $500,000. Now, if we had $500,000, we could help bring the budget up at WCNO so I can stay on the radio with you.
Amen. Well, let's hope for that because we don't want you to... You know, when Jesus comes, we want him to find us here in the studio talking about your ministry and everybody else's ministry and how we're serving.
We're just a part of the pie, baby.
We are. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
And Megan, it's good to meet you.
Thank you.
And we'll be seeing you again, I know.
Yes, yes. Won't be as shy next time.
Now I'm going to shift. No, don't be. Well, you can be shy. That's all right.
All right.
But we're going to shift now in the last 15 minutes of our program. I want to say ahead of time. Well, the program started with Robin Campbell sharing from her own life experience of child sexual abuse in the family. And so families came into focus early on, children, and the parents got drawn into that. We went to John and Megan, and John's story interfaces with family and children and the importance, you know, what goes on in families and when families fail, when... Families, for whatever reason, and addiction is certainly a big part of the destruction of families today. But there's hope for that.
Absolutely. Yes.
So we have families, and we have hope. And now I want to introduce someone you already know, Seamus Gordon, Pastor Seamus Gordon, the father-child connection. And Seamus is going to be sharing with us today a little change in his program, the Dad Up show, which had been airing Monday through Friday
from
8:30 to 9.
Yes.
And there's been some changes, so we want to hear about that. At the same time, listener, just to be thinking about everything you've heard thus far, and now Seamus is going to come in, and he's going to tell us what he's doing that's different.
Well, first, let me say how delighted I am to meet the hero here in person. I've heard your program so many times, and the work that your agency does is invaluable. So what a joy it is.
It's all of us are together, buddy.
I am so grateful for this station that gives various agencies and programs to local work in the area, in the Treasure Coast, Palm Beach County area, to have a platform to say to the listening audience what we do. That's one of the values of local radio.
Amen.
So that's number one. Number two, we had a good stint of 3 months on this program, the Dad Radio Show. So the Father-Child Connection is a nonprofit organization that works with fathers and father figures. And we have a twofold mission. One is to empower fathers and father figures to establish from day one, when mom says, we're going to have a baby, to establish a connection. In some cases, when the connection is broken, to reestablish that connection. And in a few cases, when the connection is there, to continue to maintain and strengthen the connection between fathers and father figures and their children. But at the other end of the spectrum is that need to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. I heard you talking about domestic violence, and while, yes, it is two-sided, there are instances when men are the victim, but for the most part, the aggressors are men.
Yep.
And those men were once boys. And if those boys learn from way back when how to deal with differences, how to walk away, how to not just count to 10, but learn conflict resolution, if they learned those from they were younger, then the chances of them punching walls, punching moms, punching dogs and everything else wouldn't necessarily go away, but would be less. And so that's why we're passionate about working from both ends of the spectrum, working with the dads as well as working with the boys. Frederick Douglass, one of my heroes, said it is better to prepare boys than to repair broken men. And borrowing from that philosophy and mantra, we felt it was appropriate to work with broken dads while preparing today's sons for tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. So after 3 months of being on this show, we got wonderful responses. I still have them on my text. I still have them on voicemail because they serve as encouragement. But something major came out of that which excites me. One of them is Operation Daducation.
Nice.
Every teacher will tell you, every educator will tell you, every school will tell you, if a child does not learn to read by the time they reach third grade, it is not impossible, but it's going to be an uphill struggle. In fact, there is even some research that says prisons and jails can decide how big and how many jails and prisons to build depending on how the third grade levels of children, particularly boys, are.
That's a fact.
And so to be part of the solution, during those 90 days, we started August 1st. We ended the last Friday, the 31st of October. We have had tremendous support from the public. Three major areas: Fort Pierce, Riviera Beach, and Delray Beach. We have identified three elementary schools that we're going to be working in, where fathers and father figures will read to and or with children. And I'm excited about that because, one, for the fathers, there's going to be that bonding, even if they don't live in the home, or particularly when they don't live in the home where the child is, they will be able to read to the child and read with the child. And then we'll have volunteers from the community as well as out of state who will give an hour per week for reading. And because of technology, Zoom, FaceTime, all the other ones, it can still happen no matter where the person is at.
Yeah, the technology's huge.
Technology, man. And so I am delighted about that. So that's one of the things that we're concentrating on while we're off the air temporarily. Secondly, we want to reach out to more churches. I am convinced that it does not matter what one's theological, doctrinal differences might be. I can't think of a church or a place of worship where they would deny that men matter, fathers matter, mm-hmm. in families. And so we will be reaching out to local churches to mm-hmm. get what we call dad tours, not men tours, but dad tours. We make up words around here.
We
dad
love
up,
that.
Yes. So these individuals would be a father figure who will read to and or with the children from these local schools, and we will take on more. But here is the other one that excites me. It's called A Space for Dads. We look forward to having in every county, but starting, well, in every city, but starting in every county, a space, a building that is solely dedicated for dads. And we have already identified one. We need some help. It needs a new roof. It needs hurricane impact windows. It needs to be gutted inside and be purpose made for what we will be doing it for. But it will be a space that is for dads and their families. We have loads of wonderful agencies in our communities
sure.
for moms and kids, but nothing for dads. So this building in each county will offer four things. One, visitation. When dad and child or children need to visit each other, but they need a safe space to do it. Mm-hmm. Not in McDonald's, not in the park, not at the mall. Mm-hmm. A safe space for visitation. Number two, education. So the reading, the dad education, but also when dad needs to learn about how to have his license expunged, how
sure.
to get his GED, anger management, education. Thirdly, relaxation. We have already procured foosball table tennis, all those wonderful. We have the things just ready to put in the spot where dads can come for free, be it a Friday night or whatever it is, and just have a safe, wonderful time with their children for free. That doesn't include technology. They won't have been using their thumbs adjusted. Yeah, seriously. TikTok and all the other wonderful things. But yes, relaxation. And then fourthly, mediation. When mom and dad have to sit down with a neutral person and sort out, be it custody or visitation or what have you, without the courts involved. So we will have a building, and if you're a builder, and you, as a matter of fact, because of this program, we mm-hmm. have had volunteers to say, I can put in the cabinetry. Another person
sure.
says, I'm good with the electricity. One says, I'm good with plumbing, and we're excited.
You can really reach
it's
out
exciting.
To Habitat for Humanity would be a great venue for you to reach out to, because this is something where they let the kids come out and do the work, even
yeah.
Project Lift. But I'll get you those phone numbers.
Before we go, and our time is limited, you do the Dad Up program that we had been airing. That format has changed, but you still have a program.
Yes.
Would you tell us a little bit
so
about that?
So what we will be doing, we'll be having a number of slots, shorter slots during the day, during the night, during the old time, that will tell you of what we're doing in the community. And at the end of each month, we will have a time on air and or Zoom where we invite our listeners to participate, and you will hear more about that on this very local and wonderful radio station, WCNO 89.9.
Hallelujah. Tell us, though, Seamus, please, how people radio. Get a hold of you. There's a website and there's phone numbers.
Yes.
How can they do that?
561-229-2379. That is a number you can text and or call, 561-229-2379, or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. You can also visit our website. We have a secure PayPal
Beautiful.
Thing there too, www.fatherchildconnection.org.
Wow. Thank you. I actually have a couple of minutes. 2 minutes
you,
left.
You have 2 minutes left. Listen,
so,
we're still asking the public for those three vital things. One, their prayers. We
yeah.
need your prayers. Two, we need your hours. 1 hour per week. Every day, we get 1,440 minutes times 7. That's a whole lot of minutes, over 10,000. Mm-hmm. We're only asking for 60 of those. And those 60 minutes do not have to be used in one full go. So let's say, for example, if you read with Johnny tonight for 15 minutes, but on Wednesday you read another book with or another chapter with Johnny, another 15 minutes. And then Saturday you go to the mall or you go to a game, whatever it is, with him, your hour is up. And yes, you haven't sweated. You haven't broken a sweat. And then, thirdly, your dollars, your tax-deductible dollars to a 501c3 organization. Your prayers, your hours, your dollars. 561-229-2379.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. This has just been, I love that what God does, you know, that in this hour, I'd mentioned earlier, I kind of recapped the theme, but What I'm sensing the Holy Spirit has just the power of the revelation that God has given in this hour to people.
Mm.
We won't know the extent to which lives have been changed because of what's been said today.
Sure.
What we do know is some lives have been changed.
Yes.
And for those, if you've stuck with us through the whole hour and you're one of those people whose lives have been changed and you want to tell somebody about it, you can certainly call us, 772-221-1100, or maybe you're someone that's struggling with addiction, or you know someone that is, and they're on the edge. You can. John Nelson said he gives out his number all the time. What's that number again, John?
772-285-5828.
And you can call John and get a ball rolling.
And you wonderful people put it out on the airwave five times a day for me.
Yes, we do.
Isn't that wonderful? My cell phone.
And people have called, referred them to you, and God has used you and other people that work with you to literally change the course of someone's life.
You know what? We're all able to be washed clean.
Amen.
You just got to reach out.
But and then Seamus, the work you're doing with fathers is incredible. And when I first heard about you and what you wanted to do, what you were doing, I'd already, you know, met so many other people that had the same heart, but they just hadn't put it into action. But we would like to see people replicate what you're doing, others that have a heart for that. And but what you're doing is you started something that's going to inspire other people, and that excites me.
It does.
And I wish I could say more about that, but you know what happens with time? It runs out.
It's Chuck Swindoll's time.
Chuck is, he's in the wings, right? He's ready to jump in.
Not that I know the radio station schedule.
Well, and you'll hear something you rarely hear at the end of Wednesday Live today, which is our close. And there it is.
Because there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move on. Things are possible.
Thanks for listening to Wednesday Live today, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast.